Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, I'm not sure when we get older if we don't often become more foolish. I mean, how many of us think that we can take care of ourselves? Right? I mean, the older you get, you think, yeah. You know, if I've got a job and Google and a smartphone, I can take care of myself. And we're fools. You see, your days, your life is not in step with the world. Your life depends entirely on someone else. And today is the end of your year, end of the church year. And everything comes to a climax. I mean, everything. The most important day in the history of the world, the most important day of your life is precisely the gospel text. It's Good Friday. Bitter suffering, crucifixion of our God. The Lord has come to earth as a man to be a sacrifice in your behalf, died in your place. And nothing more important to you than what happened on the day when God hung and declared, "It is finished." Payment. Peace for your sin. I mean, listen again to the epistle. The staggering enormity of what transpired for you, for the world. That we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace by the blood of his cross. All things reconciled, all things made right again in him who defeated death by his death. Defeated your sin, your death by his death, who lives and reigns as your king, that you will live and reign with him. That epistle also wrote of then and of today, your life today. That first line there that Paul writes of the domain of darkness. A domain of darkness. And the prophet Malachi spoke of that this morning, before the end. As faith appears to be a waste of time and energy. He writes, "It is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge, his rules, of walking and mourning sin, worried about sin, before the Lord? Arrogant, seem blessed. And godless evildoers not only prosper, it seems God lets them get away with it." Yeah. Darkness. And yet even now, there is temptation to despair for you. I mean, it all seems so unfair in this life. And whether you're faithful or not appears to make no difference. Whether you pray or not seems to not matter. Whether you're righteous or wicked is of no obvious consequence. Unless it be that the righteous suffer want while the wicked flourish. And those less than faithful to his word seem to prosper. So where is your God? Why does he not help you? Why are things so difficult and life such a mess? I mean, you go to church, you give offerings, you say your prayers, read your Bible, you do nice things for others. And what do you have to show for it? What's the point? You may wonder, what difference does it make at all? That Satan taunts you, tempts you. If you're a dear child of God, why this? Why that? Why do you hurt? So alone. Why must you suffer? Why must your job be a pain? Why is your marriage stressful? Why are your children disobedient? Or why do you have no spouse or child there for you? And the devil hurls these insults against you, against the words and promises of your holy baptism, against the gospel of the forgiveness. And he'll drive you to despair. Doubt or apathy. apathy is huge. And you're caught up in a great tribulation which rages around you. It batters your heart, confuses your head, wearies your soul. Either God is not good enough or you are not good enough. Either God must be deceiving you or else he's unable to help you. Or you haven't done enough or done it right. But you know it's not true. God forgive you for your doubts, fears you've entertained. His prayer from the cross, Father, forgive them. Also his prayer for you. There is much darkness. People living in darkness that need this light, the only light, the only hope. A king to rule in our lives with his light of truth and life, who made peace for you by the blood of the cross. Look around, oh Christian. Do you think you are alone in your suffering? Do you think your crosses are heavier than those of your brothers and sisters? No, they are not. We know little of what hidden struggles those around you endure. I mean, and here's a secret, or maybe not, but everyone's life is hard. Everyone hurts. Everyone struggles, loses, is afraid. Everyone has a broken heart. And everyone has family they hurt over. And some people will deny it out of pride, and they're afraid to show weakness. Some people hide it in shame, or they think it's none of your business. But no one sails through life unscathed. No one. No one. Free of doubt, deep regrets, unspeakable sorrows, scars, or sorrow. But nothing has befallen you. Not common to man. So look upon your brothers and sisters with sympathy. They're all hurting, the same as you. And it seems to you that they have it easy, you are wrong. And the Lord has given his life for you. He doesn't ask you to endure these things forever or alone. And when the last name is written in the book of life, this world will cease. Until then, he's placed you in a family, in the church, with a shepherd to tend to you and serve you with his gifts. And you live by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. He will not fail you. Your feelings, your intellect, your family, your friends, your home, your goods, your works, everything around you will eventually leave you, fall apart, fail you, or die. He will not. The Lord's promises never fail, never stop. And he will bring you home when his will for you here is done. He will not have you endure one moment longer. And you have a king. He comes to feed you his body and blood, to feed your body and soul, to strengthen you for these times and the trials to come, that you would rejoice while you wait. Rejoice while you endure. You are spared. You are his treasured possession. And Jesus says to you sinners who believe in him, truly I say to you, you shall be with me in paradise. And here in the midst of the great tribulation, yet your king is reigning in this dark domain. And paradise with your King awaits you. In the name of Jesus, amen.